don't know about having the story, between that story and that story, there is a reckoning where Nathan comes and stands in front of David and says, God knows what you have done and you need to repent and you need to, and David has a time of repentance and coming to him, God, and being in that space. God knows everything about you and me. He knows what's on our tips of our tongue. He knows what's in our actions. As the movie says, he knows what you did last summer. He knows everything about you. And yet he still loves you. Is this phenomenal? We're not worthy of God's love. We're not worthy for him to be with us. Yet through his grace and his mercy, he says, you are my child who I have made, and I want to dwell with you intimately. I don't want to dwell with you in such a way like we're walking down the street and then when people who are respectable come the other way, I just kind of hedge over here a little bit and hope they don't see that I'm with you. No, no, he's walking with us like this, arm in arm. It's like a three-legged race. He's locked in. That's the God of what we're reading about here. This is the God. This is the picture of God in you. It's the picture of God and me. Psalm 62 says this, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. A fortress is a place that is built up on a hill. It's a strong place. A strong place that cannot be attacked because it's up on a hill. God is David's fortress. He is his refuge. He is his place of running to. This is an intimate relationship, and it's a picture of the relationship that God wants to have with you and me. See, God loves it when we come and sing songs. God loves it when we hang out together, but you need to know that God intimately, deeply wants to be in relationship with you, even in the hard times, even when it's tough, even when we've stuffed up, even when we've made big mistakes. That's what David is saying, and he's prophetically saying that you can do this because God is a God of intimacy who wants to be near to you all the time. What God is near to us whenever we call on his name, Deuteronomy says. Our God. That's who's near to us whenever we call on his name. The Lord Jesus Christ. I need you. You are the apple of his eye. Wow. Have you ever been the teacher's pet? I can tell you it's great. No, I'm just kidding. I've never been the teacher's pet. You're God's pet. Is that different in today's language? I don't know. You get what I'm trying to say. Yet David has this moment in verse 7 onwards where he's like, I can't get away from you even if I wanted to get away from you. Even if you knew all about this, me God, and you're trying to get close to me, and I'm like, I need to repel. You know when you hold two magnets together and they repel away from each other? Even if David wanted to repel from God and get away from God, he can't get away from God because God is everywhere. This is what he's saying. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? I go to the heavens, you are there. I go to the heights, you're there. I go to the depths, you're there. Everywhere I go, you are there. You're just always there, hanging around. Why is God always there? Because God is omnipresent. That's the word it used, omnipresent. Omnipresence means that he is everywhere. He is all around us. So we have this God who wants to intimately know you, as David's saying, but he also is everywhere. He's the authority. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says that in the beginning there was God and the Spirit roamed around the earth. He was there in the beginning before it was even thought of. He was there. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, they take Jesus, goes into the waters of baptism. He's baptized. He comes out of the water. The Spirit is there. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. The disciples are up in the upper room. They're up in the room where they've been told to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they're up there waiting, and there's a loud shaking and a loud roaring, and then tongues of fire, like tongues of fire, come down and sit on their head, and the people spoke in tongues as they were able, and the Holy Spirit came into the earth in its fullness. He is everywhere. We read Revelations at the end. He's still there, God. He's there at the beginning. He's there at the end. He's there in the middle. He's there by His Spirit everywhere. He is everywhere as we worship Him right now. Somewhere around the world, I don't know my clock too well, but somewhere they're having a service somewhere and God is there. Somewhere else is someone's working on a house and He is there. He is in China at the moment. He is in LA at the moment. He is in Hawaii at the moment and He's here in Girraween at the moment. He is everywhere. This is who our God is. It's called omnipresent. He is everywhere at once. And He is the God who created all things. He has all authority. All power and authority has been given unto Him. He's everywhere. He's surrounding you. Yet as David prophetically says in his poem, because we live in a time after the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down and didn't just come down for moments, He came down to live inside you, to those who call on the name of Jesus. He is surrounding you everywhere, yet He is also deeply penetrating you and living inside of you, changing you from the inside out. David in Psalm 139 is quite prophetic about the times that we live in now. Where can we go from you, God? You're here. You might be running from God tonight. You might think, I've done some pretty rubbish stuff, and actually I don't even like God anymore. I don't know if He likes me. It's this awkward situation we got going. He comes down aisle 7 of the shops, and I go down aisle 9, so He can't see me. He's there. He is everywhere around you. He's not leaving you. He's there knocking on your door. And for those of you called on His name, He dwells deeply within inside you. He is in you. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. Colossians is towards the back of the Bible. It's one of the prison epistles. And there's this tension that we've been talking about, a God who wants to be intimate with you, but a God who is powerful and all around you. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20, it says this: the Son, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in Him all things, everything, was created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. This is Jesus, who is God, and He is the head of the body. The body is the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He, Christ, might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have His fullness, so the fullness of God, dwell in Jesus, in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. So the picture here is that God was happy to have His fullness dwell in the person of Jesus Christ, who reconciled, made a way for us to be connected to God. The fullness of God dwells within Jesus. Let's flick over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians is just to the left of Colossians. It's another letter called from the prison epistles, where Paul wrote from prison. And he says this: as for you and me, we were dead in our transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts like the rest. We were by nature deserving of wrath. So that at one time, you didn't know God, and one time you were doing your own thing, not even cognizant of who God is, not understanding who He is, and certainly not bowing your head to Him in submission in your life. But because of His great love for us, so while we were in that state, God, who is rich in His mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And verse 6, this is the kicker. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And God raised us up with Christ, and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show you His incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not for yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The fullness of God dwells within Christ, and we are raised to life with Christ and seated with Him, Him in us and Him in us in Him at the right hand Father. Oh my goodness. Christ dwells within us and we dwell within Christ. That doesn't mean that we are Christ, by the way. It doesn't mean that we are God. Please don't hear that. But it says that we have God, the fullness, we dwell within Him. This God that we can't get away from, that is everywhere, that peruses the world, that is all over the place, this God that has the authority to create this whole earth, affects us from the outside, yet through Jesus, dwells richly in His fullness in us, impacting us from the inside. That's a headful. Just like the Tim Tam Slam, that is affected by the hot chocolate around it, but the hot chocolate infuses it and changes it from the inside. The Holy Spirit, the fullness of God, affects us from the outside. We can't get away from Him, yet He doesn't just want to stay out and around. He actually wants to intimately know us because He created us. He wants to intimately dwell within us and change us from the inside out. And so David writes in Psalm 139, "You created me. You made me before and knitted me together before I was in my mother's womb. You know everything about me. And you still want to dwell within me." That's the story of Psalm 139. That's the story of you and me. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. He created all things. You're fearlessly and wonderfully made. And some of us sit here tonight and go, "But I did this and I did that and I did this and I keep stuffing up." And you know the voice in your head going, "Oh, you're a stuff up." And God says, "I love you. I love you. And I want to dwell within you, and I want to change you from the inside out." And you can try running, you can try getting away, but I'm on the top of the mountain, I'm in the depths of the valleys, I'm from the east and I'm in the west, I'm everywhere, and I want to be with you. David was prophetic, but that's the reality for us in 2025, for those who would call on the name of Jesus. He knows you, He loves you, and He wants to walk with you. Maybe today you're in a couple of different places. Maybe today you're in a place where you've never asked Jesus into your life. Maybe you're like running from one side to the other. God's there. Peekaboo, I'm here. He wants to invite you. He wants you to invite Him in. Maybe today you're in a place where you have Jesus in your life, but mentally you're just going, "How could He possibly love me?" You've had your Bathsheba moment, your Uriah moment. Maybe you didn't kill someone. But you did something else that's as horrible in your own mind. He says, "I love you. Come to me. I forgive. I want to walk with you. I want to impact you from the inside because I'm a God of intimacy. I'm not standing off. I'm not ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed of you because I made you and I want to walk with you." This is a chance tonight to say, "God, I love you. Thanks for being intimate. Thanks for walking with me. Thanks for being all powerful. I want to continue to walk in this space with you. I want to know you more and more and more." Just like David wrote in Psalm 139, may that be the psalm of our life in 2026. Let me pray for you tonight and invite the worship team to come up. And we're going to finish in that space. Heavenly Father God, I want to thank you that you are a God of intimacy. God, for many of us, we don't know what it is to be intimate with God. Would you lead us? Would you show us? Lord, I thank you that you know everything about me. And on one hand, that scares me witless. But on the other hand, feels so nice. I don't have to pretend with you, God. I don't have to put up a veneer. I don't have to pretend I'm something that I'm not. Because you knew me before my mother's womb, and you still call me child. Lord, I can't get over that. All powerful, all knowing, omniscient, everywhere, and yet you love us intimately. No other God would do that. No other God does do that. So God, we give you praise today. We walk in the freedom and the authority and the power and the love that comes from knowing that the God who has the fullness of God dwell in him in Christ dwells within us. And we give you praise for that in your mighty and precious name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song of praise and we're going to finish up together.